Sila Chaitanya have to come into the material world to, because it says he comes into the material world to experience, to understand the love of Srimati Radharani. So he can't do that in the spiritual world. He has to come to the material world to save fallen souls. Is that the reason why?
He said in the spiritual world. Navadvip and Svetadvip, he's there eternally relishing the mood of Srimati Radharani. But yeah, add to that the aspect of saving conditioned souls, that's only here. That's only done here.
And that's a special taste. You can't relish it in the spiritual world.
No. Yeah. There was this, I don't know if you listened to it, anecdote I put on the podcast the other day. Prabhupada was telling one devotee, he says, who wanted to sort of retire. Prabhupada said, don't waste 12 years don't waste your time like I wasted 12 years sitting in Vrindavan. So just wherever you meet, just talk to them about Krishna.
I remember quite a while ago now, you said there was one Brajvasi, he was chanting 64 rounds a day, and he was very old. He retired and he was just chanting, and then one day he fell down with his housemaid and he didn't know how it happened. And he was saying, you can't retire from preaching, this just shows there's no safe place other than just to preach on your entire life.
And it's the best way to please Krishna. So when you're trying to act in such a way, and that's what devotees want to do, whatever, they always want to please Krishna. So does retiring please Krishna? Is it necessary? If so, then fine. And if not, then that's also all right. I won't retire, like Prabhupada. It was obvious, Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada wanted to continue preaching, he was traveling, but, when your body doesn't function anymore, it doesn't work, and you just can't do the things, then, okay, then it's Krishna's will. But while you have a say in what you're going to do and, where you can be, then preach. It's Prabhupada's example. Once, you can lie, all you can do is lay down and you can't really put in the type of energy that's required to give Krishna consciousness to others, then go to the best place for lying down. Go to Vrindavan. But if you can move, then keep moving. That's Prabhupada's example.
Didn't Prabhupada also say higher than Sankirtan is managing Sankirtan? So if you weren't able to physically do it, you could inspire others in the Sankirtan.
Yeah. Well, that's same. Managing preaching. Just preaching.
What is it? It's like closer sound. It's like I went out on Sankirtan a couple of days ago, and my mind was really trying to stop me from going out. It was really saying, you don't want to do this. And it's like a kind of forgetfulness that comes over you, and you forget how nice Sankirtan is, and then you go back out, and you think, what was all that about? This is quite nice. It's actually really nice, but for some reason, you don't remember how nice Sankirtan is. You just remember the tough Sankirtan is.
The enjoying propensity is very strong, and that's, you know, even the advanced Vaishnavas, Babaji's, they don't want to undergo the, I'm talking even if they're advanced, they don't want to undergo that austerity of leaving the comfort of the temple and all the humiliation that comes along with preaching. It's austerity. It's yogya. It's not an easy thing to perform. So, therefore, in that sense, it's always something that you have to force yourself to do because you know that this is what pleases Krishna. There's another nice quote which Keshav Bharti Maharaj told me when he was here. And Prabhupada said, told one of the early Sankirtan devotees, he said, just give me your youth to distribute books, and then when you get old, you can all retire in Vrindavan. That's a really nice expression, isn't it? Give me your youth to distribute these books. And that's what we're doing, you know, giving Prabhupada our youth and to further his mission. Because everything Prabhupada's doing is a perfect, pure offering to Krishna. And directly accepted by Krishna. If we're an instrument in that, then we also get accepted by Krishna. You know, if Prabhupada offers a plate of prasadam, Krishna accepts the plate as well. And I think that has a lot to do with this sort of special mercy aspect, is that being part and parcel of Srila Prabhupada's mission gives us access to really a sort of wonderful blessing that otherwise is, like we're reading this morning, very difficult to attain. Very difficult to attain.
Is that why Lord Chaitanya Host comes down in Kali Yuga? Because the fallen souls aren't really suffering so much in the other yugas, so he feels especially compassionate in Kali Yuga.
Yeah, well, it's to do also with Krishna's recent appearance also, because Lord Chaitanya comes after Krishna. Because that's what he's giving. He's giving Krishna.
through Sankirtan. All your life, then one day you'll turn around to give somebody a book. And Lord Chaitanya will be standing there.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, we should have faith in that. Lord Chaitanya is standing there anyway. But don't necessarily see him. But at least I will see him. See him standing there. The results are up to Krishna, and he can give result one time and then not give result later. So Arjuna says that, you know, I have the same bow, same gandiva, and the same weapons, but I can't even pull it, what to speak of, you know, defend the queens against some cowherd men. So he was able to do it before, but when Krishna withdrew that potency, then he couldn't do it again. So devotees also get empowered to do things. And sometimes they're empowered, and sometimes that empowerment goes. And Krishna takes away that empowerment.
Why would he take away that empowerment for a second time?
Why did he take it away from Arjuna? It's just Leela. He gives things, he takes things away. He's independent. He has a lot of purposes. He'll do it to teach devotees to be dependent, not to become proud. And, when we look at Srila Prabhupada, I mean, having a body with which to preach meant empowerment. At a certain point, Krishna took it away. Srila Prabhupada was willing, but Krishna took it away. So whatever you're doing in this world, at some point you're going to lose it all, because Krishna's going to take away that thing with which you do service, which is this body. And did you hear Sariputta Prabhu? He just left his body. And Sundarup also, same week. Remember Sundarup?
Yeah, Sundarup. He was Maharaj.
So,
sometime after go, Krishna just takes it all away, and you may think, I've got so many important things to do. And distributing books. Why would Krishna want me not to distribute books? And it doesn't depend on you. There's other people out there who can do it. While you're doing it, you're getting all the credit and the blessings. But And at a certain point, it's just, it's over. Then it's time to go, because that's also part of the business plan is that once your business is really sort of finished in this world, he wants you to leave, go back to Godhead, not hang around here unnecessarily. So we need to always be attentive, as if there's no tomorrow. Because one day there won't be any more tomorrow. There'll be no more time for any more trying and any kind of effort, and there won't be another chance. There'll be time to go. Activities like temple construction and deity worship, when it's done in isolation from preaching, when it's done connected to preaching, then it also becomes preaching. And it's part of the preaching machine. But when that's the whole purpose of Krishna consciousness, then it's Kanishta. It's not very advanced level of devotional activity. And even it may be done by pure devotee, but the point is that it's Kanishta in the sense that it's neophyte, in the sense that it's not so pleasing to Krishna. It doesn't please Krishna in the same way it pleases him, but it doesn't please him in the same way that preaching does. When you weigh the activities themselves, whoever it's being done by, even it may be done by a neophyte devotee, the activity itself becomes Kanishta Madhyamuttam. And devotees who neglect preaching, even they may be at a certain level of spiritual advancement, but because they've chosen the path which is just inferior, Kanishtha, inferior way of pleasing Krishna, therefore they get the title of being Kanishthas also, although by dint of perhaps sadhana and bhajan, they may have attained some state of perfection. So, just as in the spiritual world, they were, even amongst perfected souls, there are different levels of perfection. Perfect, more perfect, most perfect. So this is most perfect service.
Expression you used, Maharaj, and you're saying that a devotee should insulate his desire to serve Krishna, even though there's the influence of past deeds, a devotee has no other recourse than to just carry on with these other unwanted things there. And I was wondering what that meant, to insulate. To serve Krishna. The purpose must simply insulate the desire to serve Krishna from the influence of past deeds.
Uh-huh.
And the question.
Yeah. They have to protect your devotional people. What Chaitanya says, protect them from anartas, protect them from bad behavior, those things that will weaken. Desire for spiritual advancement. Need to do those things that give you spiritual strength, and simultaneously need to also protect what it is that we actually have.
The same question was answered by Buddhi Champabu, they're asking, how does one rid oneself of personal weaknesses?
How does what?
How does one rid oneself of personal weaknesses? And he answered, the first thing is to recognize them and then decide which ones we can renounce. We should be humble about the weaknesses we are sincerely unable to give up and proceed in our efforts to become Krishna conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dhananda Maharaj, this is in the book Greetings, he says, should we judge righteousness as the impeccable practice of Krishna consciousness or the sincere endeavor to move toward that goal from our present platform of realization? Mm-hmm. It seems like when you're a young devotee, you can make a wrong judgment and think, oh, this devotee is more advanced because he seems really strict and dogged, and this one is not. But it's hard to see what's going on inside, what the desire inside is. You know, the devotee may be behaving like that because he wants to fulfill the desire to be recognized as something, and the other devotees, he wants to be pure devotee, he just doesn't seem externally to be.
Yeah, therefore there are many, many symptoms that make up aerial Vaishnava, not just a few, and we need to be able to, either we develop that discriminatory vision, or we can see that, or one becomes that spiritually advanced, that you can recognize the spiritual advancement of another. And in the absence of that, one should then just, that means he's not a very advanced Vaishnava, just stay at a distance and avoid criticizing anyone and offer due respect to all Vaishnavas. Peace.